Hi, welcome to the Left Brain Artist. I'm Suzanne Redmond. Do you live in an area that has embraced street art? In West Palm Beach, Florida, where I live, they really have. We've got murals on the side of buildings, in the stairwells of parking garages, on schools, and on water tanks. Whether it's called street art or public art or murals, it's an art form that has gone all over the world. Today I'm talking with street artist Eduardo Mendieta. He got his start when he was young tagging buildings, and now he's getting paid by cities and private businesses and individuals to create fabulous murals both locally and nationally. He'll take us through the process of working on a big project, from the details of the contract to how he plans and executes these large works of art. This is Eduardo Mendieta. Hi, Eddie. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi.
Hi. All right. I'm here with Eduardo, and he's also called Eddie, and people call you Emo. So can you tell me why people call you Emo?
I sign my name, EM copyright symbol, but it kind of looks like Emo, so people have been calling me that for years.
I think that's so funny. So that's how, yeah, because I'll tell people, oh, have you seen that new mural in town? And they'll say, oh, that one by Emo? Yeah. So, yeah, you're known by Emo. But you've done a ton of murals all over the place. And when I look at your website, and also I follow you on Facebook and things, you're traveling a lot of places to do these murals. So that's really fascinating to me. But I want to start out by asking you, how did you get started with spray painting and doing murals? Because that happened many, many years ago, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've been spray painting since I was a kid. I started like around maybe like 14, 15.
Yep.
I used to tag and stuff. And I stopped around 20 because I had a kid. And I was doing graphic design for a long time for, you know, my job. And then about 10 years ago or so, I had the opportunity to do a big mural. And after that, it just kind of snowballed, and I just kept doing it and doing it. And now I don't do the graphic design. I just do murals.
All right. So how did that opportunity come to you? Had they known you from something else, or did you find something that you applied to?
No, Respectables. I know the guy that owns that place, okay. Rodney, and the building that was next door to it got knocked down. And
okay.
Then he had this huge wall that was open, you know, like 100-foot blank wall. So I kind of just kept bugging him till he let me do it.
Oh, okay.
Till he let me paint it, yeah.
So that was a very informal agreement that you had with him. Was that a paid gig, that very first one?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay. All right. So now you do them all over the place. But we're not just talking walls. You've done inside of parking garages, and you've done inside of buildings. Tell me some of the unusual places you've done.
The parking garage, I haven't done them by myself. I've done them with groups of artists, and I think we've done like four different parking garages, and that was just I had done some work for the city of West Palm Beach and or the DDA actually, and that was actually their idea. Was they wanted to get the stairwells a little bit more lit and a little bit more pedestrian friendly, so
oh,
people
yeah.
would
They're
take
beautiful.
The stairs.
The stairwells prior to this could be kind of scary looking, just
right.
basic gray and kind of dark. Yeah, but the paint really, really brightens it up. Are you doing 100% spray painting, or do you use brushes too?
I would say it's mostly spray paint, but
okay.
Yeah, I mean, we use brush and rollers.
And how does it work when you're doing a collaboration, you're doing it with other artists? Do you each take a section? What do you do?
Yeah, it depends on the project. Like, sometimes we just break it up into sections. For, like, the first stairwell we did, each artist had a different floor, and then the second stairwell, we made it a little bit more collaborative, where two artists did the whole stairwell, but and they would kind of intertwine their work together.
Oh, okay. That's kind of cool. All right. When you started doing them with City of West Palm Beach or Downtown Development Authority, did you have to apply to do this, or were they just coming to you saying, hey, can you do this and can you find other artists? How'd that work?
Well, after I had done the mural on the side of Respectables, we actually didn't realize we had to pull permits or anything like that. We just did it.
Oh, and, okay. So both you and the property owner didn't realize that?
Right.
Okay.
And because it wasn't a sign or anything, it didn't have any lettering or nothing. It was just art.
And what year was this? Do you remember?
I think it was like 2010 or 11 or something like that.
So not that long ago, but that was, yeah, really in the early stages of the murals being painted in West Palm. Was that the first one in West Palm, do you think?
At that scale?
Yeah.
Well, no, there was a couple other ones that happened before that. There was one on, I think, what used to be the old ballet studio place that was on the tracks over there. They had a mural.
Okay.
Way before that, that it was like four dancing, you know, ballerinas or something.
Oh, I don't even remember that one. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But, this one, it was one of the first.
Okay. All right.
And then I met through that I met Raphael at the DDA, and then it just happened that way.
Like, okay.
That's how.
So what happened back to the Respectables wall? What happened when somebody discovered that permits weren't pulled? Were you able to do the permits after the fact?
Right. That's what happened. They had us come into to the Art and Public Places Committee, and Raphael was there to advocate for us because he really liked the mural, and then they let us just apply after the fact.
Oh, okay.
That we didn't know.
Okay.
Right.
Well, that worked then. Yeah. So now it's pretty formal with when you use cities and you're going through Art in Public Places. Do you have to, in addition to the permits, do you have to do sketches that they approve first of all?
Yeah. I mean, they have to make sure there's nothing, you know.
Nudes or anything.
Yeah, exactly. Or political or anything like that.
Okay. Yeah, since it's in a public place. So it's a whole process. How long would you say it takes from the moment you say, we're going to apply for this to do this, or we're going to get the permit, to when you first get to put paint on the wall? Is it a long time?
It depends if you're doing it for a private company or owner of a building, or if you're doing it for the city itself. It's a lot quicker if you're just doing working with a private owner.
Okay. But the city, you have to go through all the sketching and approval process too.
Right. But yeah. I mean, there's just more, you know, whenever you're dealing with a city or any sort of county, it's just everything takes longer.
Yeah. Okay. So how are you getting these jobs that are in cities away from Palm Beach County? Like, I saw you did, what did you do? You did a water tower in Ocala. Is that what it was?
Yeah, I did a water tank in Ocala.
A water tank. Like, how did you find out about that job?
Just through calls. They do, like, national or regional calls for artists. And since I've done a couple projects for cities already, I'm kind of on mailing lists. So they just send them to me.
Oh, my gosh.
Emails.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So you're not having to search them down that much.
No, I'm pretty lucky. I got, since I've done a couple other projects, like I said, I'm on people's mailing list. So whenever there's like a big mural or call to artists for stuff like that, I usually get
an
email
good. Yeah.
Telling me about it.
How many years did it take before that started happening, where you started on email lists now?
Well, I was fortunate enough to kind of get luck, you know, to do a couple projects right away. Because after I had done the thing at Respectables, then I worked with the DDA, and that kind of, once I could put that on my CV, then it was easier for me to get other projects in other cities, because they had seen that I had already worked with a city.
Okay.
So like right after that, I did a project in, or not right after, but like the next year I did a project in Indianapolis, and then, you know, it just kind of, then I had another city that I did, so it was easier.
Right, right.
Like, so, you know, once I got my foot in.
Yeah, and each time you could add another thing to your list, they said, wow, this guy goes to Indianapolis. Well, what was the Indianapolis one?
It was a mural project they were doing for the Super Bowl. It was over there that year.
Yeah.
So I guess whenever the Super Bowl's in your city, they have to put money into the community. So one of the community projects was a mural project.
Oh, okay. Was it just one mural, or did you do a series of them?
No, I did two, but it was like 30 artists were involved, because there was the number that Super Bowl was the number of murals they did.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, yeah. Okay. So that was quite a lot. Is your mural still there?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't been back. I mean, I get every now and then I get tagged on a photo on Instagram or something like that. So I think it's still there.
Oh, that's cool. All right. Do you, when you sign up to do a mural, when they agree you're going to do this mural, we're going to pay you this amount, do they tell you what the estimated life of the mural is going to be? Like, are you signing a contract saying, yes, we swear that this mural will not be painted over for at least 1 year or something like that? Do they do that?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, especially with this. Well, the city, definitely. They usually, it's going to be there for at least 2 to 5 years.
Okay. All right. And so, like, I know the one that you did kind of across from Hullabaloo, the vacant lot where the swings used to be, was three walls surrounding a vacant lot. And the last wall, the back wall, was, I guess, the side of a building, and it just got torn down. So now it's only a two-wall mural. So do they tell you? Do they say, hey, by the way, your mural's going to be torn down?
No, because that's private property. So,
okay.
Eventually, I'm from what I've been told, that whole corner of the, or that whole end of the block's going to get all torn down. They're going to build a new high rise there. So.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, it was just it was temporary, that one. They knew from the get-go.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, is it strange when you find out that something's gotten painted over or torn down?
Nah, I mean, that's like normal for street art or, you know.
Okay, so you're not.
I mean, it's just constantly changing.
Yeah, you can't get attached to it then.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So when you do these murals, who is providing, like, let's say that for that wall in particular, that wall was pretty high. Who's providing the scaffolding or ladders or whatever you would need to actually do it? Do you have to figure that out yourself? Or is, if you work with a city, are they providing that for you?
No, I mean, that usually it's in the budget, but I have to order everything.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. And then do they also put things in your contract that require you to come back and touch it up every once in a while?
I mean, with working with cities, most of the times you're responsible for like a number of years, which is usually like either 1 or 2 years.
Okay.
That you're responsible for it, as far as if, you know, the paint starts to chip or fade or something like that, you have to come fix it. If it gets tagged or something like that, then they ask you to come fix it, but they pay you for your time.
Oh, okay. All right. And when you do these outdoor murals, are you doing a coating over the paint too, or it's just an exterior paint that can withstand weather?
It depends on the contract. Sometimes they want you to put like a graffiti proof coating on it, or they want you to put a UV coating on it. Like the paint's made for outside, so it'll last for years. But if you, you know, put an extra UV coating on it, it will give it like another 5 years of life.
Oh, okay. All right. But they'll put that in the budget and tell you in advance if they want you right. to do that. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So tell me about some of the other ones that you've done that have been far away.
I did one in Louisiana a few years back.
Oh, yeah? What was that? Yeah.
That was, it was at the side of a building. It was a school. It was the Mentorship Academy, I think is what it was called. So it was a 6-story building. And we started, the mural started like 16 or 15 feet over the ground. Yep. And then we went up from there.
Oh, wow. Did you do that just yourself, or were there other artists?
No, I had two other artists come help me out with it.
Oh, okay. Because it was so large?
Yeah. I mean, I usually do that on projects that I'm going out of town for, just for time-wise.
Yeah, so you don't have to move in for 6 months.
Right, exactly. Usually, yeah. I usually have the two same guys come help me. And it's Jay Belici and Paul Hughes. And, you know, we try to knock it down as quick as we can.
Yeah, okay. When they've hired you from out of town, are they providing you transportation or lodging?
No, it's all in the original contract.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know, it's budgeted for it.
Yep, yep.
But I have to, you know.
You have to make your own.
Get the plane, the TM,
transportation.
Getting my own. Exactly.
I gotcha. Okay. All right. Okay. It seems that on social media right now, you're posting a lot of photos of murals at schools. Is that one contract where you're doing multiple schools right now?
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They contract me to do 5.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And then it's a project that they got federal funding for schools that have just switched over to STEAM or STEM programs. So I'm doing 5 now, and then I think in the next fiscal year, I'm doing another 5 at the same schools.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Was the one at Pomich Lakes High School part of that?
No, that was a separate thing.
Oh, okay.
The STEM program is mostly elementary, or they're all elementary or middle school.
Oh, all right. Okay. And the one that you did recently, I can't remember if it was Grove Park, but it looked like it was on panels rather than on walls.
Is that right? Yeah.
How big was each panel?
They were canvas, and they were roughly like 4 feet by 8 feet.
Okay. And so those you did back at your studio, is that right?
Yep.
Did you do spray paint for those as well, since they were canvas?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. And then they're just installed, what was it, like 15 feet up on the walls?
Yeah, they're in their library. The reason why we had to do it on canvas was because that school's actually going to get knocked down and rebuilt, but not in a year or two. So they didn't want to have a mural painted on a building that was going to get torn down.
Oh, that's smart. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, my son went to a school that was going to be knocked down, and he was the last class there, and they let the kids write all over the walls and paint like in the last week of school and do whatever they want and paint all over the walls. And then over the summer, the school district decided not to knock it down, and they put another school in it. They got a new school, and they got to move. But I just imagine the work that the guys had to do preparing that school again, because the kids painted and drew all over the walls.
Right. That's funny.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, that was smart that they did it on canvases then, because – you know, I've seen some projects where people just don't think it through, and they say, yeah, let's do it. And then it's destroyed within 6 months.
Right.
Yeah. So that's good. So how many more do you have to do of the first 5?
One more, which I started last night.
Oh, okay. Is that one, are they all on interior walls for these 5?
No, they were, the first 3 were exterior walls, and the the last two are interior.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's kind of good having such a multi-school job like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It keeps me busy.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you doing any fine art where you're just painting on canvas to put in galleries or to try to sell? Are you doing any of that right now?
I haven't actually shown in galleries in like a number of years. Anything I've been doing on canvas lately has been all commission work. But actually, I do have a show coming up in. It's a group show coming up in November at the Cultural Council.
Oh, yeah. Cool. What is there a theme? What's the name of that show?
It's a graffiti theme, I think, or street art theme. I don't remember what it's called off the top of my head. But
yeah,
I know it's in November.
Yeah.
So they're it's pretty cool. They're letting us paint inside the gallery on the walls in the main entrance way, and then in the back they're letting us hang pieces.
Oh, that's cool. That sounds fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think their shows are generally up for like 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. Have you done murals at private homes?
Yeah.
Yeah. What were those like?
I mean, they're
inside or outside?
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I've done, like people have had me paint on their pool house or something like that.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
And then inside their homes, like in their living room or like extra family room or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. What's your favorite? Do you have a favorite subject that you like to paint?
Not really. I mean, I'm pretty game for whatever. I like to change things up a lot.
Yeah. When you do things for cities, are they giving you guidance of what they want, or are they saying, you tell us what you think you might do and sketch it out?
No, usually they have like an idea, or not an idea as far as like design wise, but an idea as far as the theme. Like they'll give me a theme, but they'll give any, you know, when they do the call to artists, they usually let you know right from the get-go that they have a theme or some sort of like what they're trying to portray in the artwork or achieve with this artwork or whatever.
Okay. All right. I remember when you were painting on the temporary blocks for Continuum, you did a painting one time, those cubes, you did a painting and I think it was of your daughter. And it looks like you've done that painting. What was it? The Hallandale stairwell. Is that your daughter on the stairwell?
Yeah, I mean, loosely based on her. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of cool. Does she like it?
Yeah, she likes it. I mean, I paint her a lot.
Do you?
Yeah, I mean, she's a free model.
Yeah.
I get to pose her in different positions.
Yeah, she's very photogenic. Yeah, she's a good model. I think that would be kind of fun, and but you wonder, how old is she?
Well, now she's 14. At that time, she was probably like, I don't know, 5 years ago, so
yeah.
Whatever that is.
Well, I was going to say, I wonder if when she gets to like the 16, 17-year age, would she still like the fact that her image is painted in a stairwell or on a wall around town?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think my daughter would be horrified. All right. Let me look and see if there's any other things I wanted to ask you about. Well, can you tell me about the process when you've got a blank wall? What is the order of which you do things when you're painting a big mural? Do you sketch it out first on the actual wall?
Well, I mean, before I even get to the wall, I already have my sketch, you know, on paper stuff. So depending on the size of the wall, I mean, you know, it kind of depends on how we do it. If it's, you know, not that large, I'll freehand it on the wall. If it's, you know, really big, then I usually put dots on the wall so that I could have like a reference point for how far things are. So like, if for a big mural, I'll usually put like dots every 4 feet. So it kind of makes a grid.
Yep.
So mm-hmm. that I could, you know, I have like a reference. Because otherwise, when you're on a ladder or on the lift and stuff, and you're only seeing, you know, 4 or 5 feet in front of you in each direction, and the wall's like 100 feet,
yeah.
it's kind of hard to tell where things are.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. So when you're doing one section of it, especially when you're having to like move a lift or a scaffolding or walk around scaffolding, are you trying to complete that section 100% or very close to it before you move on?
No, I kind of, I'll roughly lay out everything, you know, the big objects on the design first.
Yep.
And make sure those are in correctly before I start like working in more of the detail, just because I don't want to spend a lot of time working on certain details and then realize that the whole thing's off and then have to start over again. So I kind of just rough it all out really quickly and then come back to each section and do more of the detail stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, and obviously that comes from you doing this for many years.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and learning the better ways to do things. Yeah. How many murals would you say you've done over the years?
Really, I've lost count. I don't know. I mean, as far as like the bigger projects, you know, I would say probably like 15 or 20. But then yeah. I've done a lot of smaller things, so
yep. Yeah,
kind of lose track.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, but like you said, you're not having to do graphic design or other things right now because you've got so many murals. So that's nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I still do some graphic design work for you know, friends and stuff that, like, I do a lot of this stuff for Civil Society Brewery. Like, I'll do labels for them and
okay.
I did their logo and all that.
Yeah, yeah. I think once a graphic artist, you're always a graphic artist because people will always call you back to it.
Right.
Yeah, that's the skill that everybody loves to use. It's kind of like the guy with the truck. Can I use your truck to move? Can I use
right.
your graphic design skills? I need a business card.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. So do you have any new projects that are coming up that you can talk about?
Nah, I mean, like I said, I just started another mural at Congress Middle School, and
yep.
That's gonna keep me busy for like about a week or so.
Okay.
And then after that, I got another school I'm working on too and then get ready for the show in November. That's
yeah,
about it.
That's
yeah.
great. You said you get commission work as well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything like that going on?
Not right now, no. I just did one for someone's house. I did a week ago, but nothing coming up right now, no.
Yeah. All righty. Well, where can people find you on the internet? What's your website?
It's my name.
Okay.
EduardoMendieta.com.
Alrighty.
And then just Instagram and Facebook and all that.
Okay, I'll put some links to that on the show notes so people can see all your murals. This has been great. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think I'm good.
I think you're good. All right. Well, thanks so much, Eddie.
All right.
All right. You have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Be sure and check out my show notes for this episode so you can see examples of his large works of art. And keep in mind that he does most of this using spray paint rather than brushes. It's amazing what he does. Here are a few takeaways from this episode. Number 1, include everything that you've done as an artist on a CV so that you can show potential clients that you have experience and have done these types of projects before. Number 2, look for calls to artists both locally and nationally. Number 3, when working on a public art project, follow all the rules of the government or business exactly, including getting all the needed permits. Number 4, see if there are other city or county groups that might want murals, like the Downtown Development Authority in West Palm Beach, Florida. Number 5, make sure your budget for the job includes money for scaffolding, lifts, or ladders that you might need, for UV or graffiti-proof coating if required, for upkeep over the first couple of years, and for travel and lodging for you if the project is far away. Number 6. When doing a project out of town, bring other artists with you to assist you so the project will go quicker. Number 7. For really large projects, it helps to set up your sketch on a grid on the wall so you know how far apart to make the components of the mural. I hope you've enjoyed hearing Eddie talk about the murals that he's done over the years. Remember that he had a first one that he attempted, and you can too. You just need to think of the wall as an oversized canvas and plan it very well. Check out my show notes and his website to see photos of murals that he's done. And remember that they are done with spray paint. That's just always so impressive to me. If you are enjoying these podcasts, please go on iTunes and leave me a review. And thank you for listening to the Left Brain Artist Podcast. I'm Suzanne Redmond. See you next time.